I have a simple message this morning, but no matter how simple, I pray that we'll remember it throughout the year, because it will be the principle that will guide our relationship with the Lord. And I sincerely pray that all of us, both male and female, young and old, will be attentive even to this little message. The Lord will bless you, and the Lord will depend on you, and you will not disappoint him. Only the few amens that I'm hearing are those who are ready to serve. And I know that your determination to do this will not in any way be dampened in Jesus' name. And I'm hearing a louder amen. You have made resolutions. I mean, I tell you that resolutions don't usually count, because in making resolutions, you are depending on self-will to be able to actualize it. And in most cases, you try it for a period of time, and when that willpower has waned in you, you go back to your vomit, and you even eat more than your vomit. But when you make a vow to the Lord, is different from resolution. A vow to the Lord is actually a dependence on the power of God to keep you, to make that a reality, not only for a short time, but for as long as you live. And I sincerely remember very well that when I was about 12 years old, I still remember till today, my mother gave me a little cup of palm wine. And it was a joyous occasion that day. She gave me a little cup of palm wine, and after drinking it, my eyes were turning. And I said there and then, Lord, help me. Before you and within me, I am making this vow. I will never taste palm wine again. Do you know something? Not by power, not by my own might, but by the will of God, I have never tasted it till now. And I don't see anything by the grace of God that will make me taste it. I pray, doctors here, you will not prescribe it for me, for anything that actually may happen, you know. Because if you do, I will not take it. And the thing that is there is that if a boy of 12 years old can actually do that, you can do more than that. The Lord will help you to do it right this year, 2017, in Jesus' name. Serving the Lord is what actually I've captioned as a topic. Serving the Lord. There are two offices in the Baptist Church. Can you name them? Two major offices in the Baptist Church. One is pastors and deacons. Pastors and deacons. In the Baptist Church, that is what we have. And that is why we say that we'll address ourselves as, if you're ordained as deacon or deaconess, we'll address you as deacon or deaconess, address you as pastor or reverend, and others as sisters and brothers. May I actually say this? I believe everything that I read in the scriptures, especially that which the Lord laid in the heart of Peter to write in the first book, in the first epistle of Peter, chapter 2, verse 9. Can you put it on the board, please? But you are a chosen generation, a royal what? Priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. A royal priesthood. I believe in the priesthood of all believers. I believe that there should never be any dichotomy. Is that the word? Yes. Between clergy and laity. We are all priests of God. And where this is understood, I believe that every believer in that church will know that they are saved to serve. Do not in any way say, hey, Pastor Lawal, you are called of God. Therefore, continue to do the work of God. I will do what I want. And I know that God will not be offended. God will be extremely offended if you do not live up to your calling. God has called you from darkness into his marvelous light. And he said that you are a chosen people. Chosen by God, not by anything that actually you can count as your own, but by grace. By grace. And therefore, God expects you to serve him. And how will you serve that actually will be a reasonable service? Sometimes we render services even to our parents, and they are very much unreasonable. Instead of actually having them praise us to say, well done, my son, well done, my daughter, they look at you and say, you mean this is all you can do? You this lazy cow. Huh? Have you been called like that before? Uh-huh. You're confessing. I don't remember whether I was called like that by my parents. I've forgotten about my childhood. The thing about it is this. When you are serving God, God expects some things from you. And I want to lay these principles before you this morning. The first thing is, let your service be from a perfect heart. Let your service unto God be from a perfect heart. There are some people who go to church. They serve God when they are in the midst of Christians. But they serve other gods outside. There's a particular tribe, they say that, don't always trust what they do in church. Because right there in church, they serve God. But in their homes, they have something they pour oil on. I won't mention that tribe. Your guess is as good as mine. The thing about it is this, you need to choose whether you are going to serve God in the year 2017 or not. Joshua stood before the children of Israel after the Lord had delivered them from bondage, and they had crossed to the other side of the Jordan, and they were serving God, and things were continuing. But later, that which God had told them not to do, not to serve the gods of the land that they are going to occupy, they started doing it. And Joshua stood before them. And you know that popular verse, Joshua 24, verse 15. There he said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Who are you going to serve in the year 2017? Don't mind me. I put 2015 on the checkbook last year, December 2016. I put 2015. It's 2017. Who are you going to serve? Will it be God of money, God of fame, God of pleasure? Will it be hard for you to actually serve God? When the people of Israel turned to Joshua and said, we are ready to serve God. He said, no, you are not ready. You are not ready. As long as you have all the gods that you have and you're serving, you're believing in, you're trusting in, you cannot serve God. And I submit to you, children of God, if you're in the occult, you cannot serve God. If you are in any group that is questionable, that God will not be there, that you're not proud of to mention to the people in the open. You cannot serve the living God. The glory of God, he will share with nobody. He will not. He will not. You can either serve God or serve mammon. And I pray that you will be courageous this year to abolish every practice of witchcraft, every practice of occultism, and turn to the true God to serve him. Perfect heart. Let your heart be opened and know that in purity you will serve him, not mingling anything together with his service. Secondly, serve God with gladness. Serve him with gladness. I saw some people this morning while we were singing, and Reverend Oyeni was actually dancing and singing his heart out. They were just there. They were just there. As if they were forced to church, to come to church. You slept late last night, yes? But today, being the first day of the year 2017, that should actually wake you up and say, I am in the house of the Lord. Don't just come to church on 31st night of December and roll over to the first and say that, hey, Lord, I started your church. I pray sincerely that you will be like David, who said, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Let it be a thing of joy to you. Bring gladness to you that you are coming to serve God. Don't let it be so hard that you come to church and then you sit down. I don't know why it is actually hard for us to stand for about, 1 hour singing praises to God. As soon as we stop singing, a lot of people just sit down, boom. And then when they say, we are going to stand to sing, oh, why did I come today? Huh? Whereas when you're rolling for your team that you never knew, they won't pay you a kobo. You went to watch a football match. You stand up and then be cheering, be throwing the flag like that. I used to see you on television, You can stand like that even when they had gone for first half, the rest, 15 minutes rest. You are still standing. Hey, hailing for them, and so on and so forth. And they don't even know you. But the Lord God Almighty, who has been so good to you, you are so tired to stand before him. I pray one day we'll throw all these chairs outside, and then you come in, we'll stay. We'll stand throughout. The next Sunday, I want to see those who will come back. Serve the Lord with gladness. Let his praise come even from your heart. Let it actually come to you that, yes, the service of the Lord is true and plain. Then again, serve God faithfully. Serve God truthfully. Faithfully. Truthfully. In 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 24, we have something going on there concerning Saul, who was told to go and do a service for the Lord. And guess what? He came back and said that, I have faithfully rendered your service, whereas he did not. Guess what? When God tells you to do something, you must do it to the letter. Some of us will be inducted into service next Sunday. And I pray that by the grace of God, that service that you are supposed to render, you will render it to the letter. When the chairman of your committee calls for a meeting, you will not be found wanting. In most cases, the people who are supposed to support the chairperson will leave the chairperson alone. Only in few ministries do I see that they gather together to really, support the chairperson, prison ministry is one. They are wonderful people. Wonderful people. They'd love for Wednesday to come. And when they're not going for meeting, they still come for their meeting. I want to believe that the same thing is true of children ministry. When it will come. Oh, it's not. Okay? My, you know, pastor is saying that it's not so much like that. Be faithful. Be truthful in the service that you render. The Lord God Almighty wants this to happen. And quickly, I go to the fourth one. It must be sacrificial. Sacrificial. What do we mean by that? If your service to God does not cost you anything, know that you are not serving the true God. The smaller gods will demand for some things from you. When you go to them, they will say that bring seven bales of white clothes, seven rams, seven this, seven that, and then you'll be struggling to get the money to buy it because you are looking for what? Their help. And the Bible has made us to know that those who serve them are like them because they have mouth but they cannot talk, nostrils they have, they cannot smell, and things and so on like that. You are serving a living God. It must cost you something. And the first thing that I see about this, which actually is read to us in the book of Romans chapter 12, is that you must present your bodies a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. Acceptable unto God. Acceptable unto God. It must cost you your time. It must cost you your talent. It must cost you your gifts. It must cost you your money. Blessed be the example that David set for us in the book of 2 Samuel chapter 24 verse 24 when he wanted to go and give a sacrifice, and the man that he had chosen his place to actually offer the sacrifice said, "I will supply you everything, O king. I will supply you everything." And he said, "God forbid that I will render unto God a sacrifice that costs me nothing." Children of God, it must cost you something. It must cost you your pleasure. It must cost you a wonderful time of wanting to save for something and the Lord has need of it and you need to render it, to surrender it. A lot of folks have fallen in love before. I'm not saying now that you are married. But when you are first in love, guess what? When the wonderful lady that you have just met, whom you cannot even sleep without, you cannot sleep unless you have seen the person, says that, and you know what? And we need something, and so on. Really? Don't worry. Count it done. But now, you see, you did on your own. The same thing is true with God that we serve. When the church is saying that we have need of something, and I want to express this that actually was passed to me yesterday. We need a van for missions. Four-wheel drive van for missions. That will go on sandy road. That will go on rocky places. That will go on smooth places. And so on and so forth. For missions this year. And I believe that indeed somebody will come to me after this service and say that I'm presenting it. Amen? Good, good, good. Sacrifice. Sacrifice. You don't have to have a lot to know how to give. If you don't know how to give out of the small that you have, the little that you have, you can never give when you have a lot of it. You can't. The Lord will help you. Then you need to actually have a righteous giving, a righteous service. The word of God tells us, the Lord Jesus Christ mentioned it. He said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will be supplied unto you." A righteous service. What is righteous? Something that is right. Something that is adequate. Something that actually you can say, "Yes, I have done nothing but my best." The Lord is requiring from you your best. a right service, one that he can boast about, one that can see and say, truly, this person knows me. God is not a debtor to any man. He will surely bless you. He will surely bless you. And lastly, let it be a continuous service. Like I said, resolutions, they start well, but in the middle of the way, it can die down. But a vow to God to serve him will be backed up by his Holy Spirit. And being backed up, you will not in any way fail in the middle of the way. Let it be continuous. And not only continuous, let it be contagious. Contagious in the sense that your children will see it and they want to be like you. I know few families here in this church where you find the father and the mother serving and the children are serving too. They have not run away to another church to hide themselves there. They are very much present before us. We can see them and we have joy in seeing them grow to maturity, to the point that we just say to ourselves, look, you are now a lady. You are not a wonderful, handsome man. That, to me, is contagious. Let your life be contagious, that your children will see you and they will want to say, I want to be better, even in service, than my parents. What a wonderful time that will be. That is why I always love to see families of pastors, when you have the children of the pastor becoming pastors, like we have about three of them in their family, before. Three. Wonderful. Three siblings, pastors. And I know that some of their children also, that is the grandchildren of their pastor father, will become pastors too. Not to inherit the company of their father. You know what I mean by that? Their father is a one-man GO, general overseer. And therefore, when the father dies, the son takes over. Or the wife. Then the son or the daughter. No, not that. We are talking about those who have submitted themselves to the Lord and who are saying, Lord, wherever you send me, I will go. Whatever you have chosen for me, I will do. The father may be serving here. They will not be a minister under their father. But they will go to where God has sent them. That is ministry. That is calling. Not inheritance. By the grace of the Almighty God, you will see your children walk in the truth. You will see your children walk in the truth. And you will continue to praise God for it. Let your service to the Lord be contagious. As you continue in serving God. Because it is those who actually endure to the end that shall be what? Saved. It's not my word. Let's read Matthew 24 from verse 12. Matthew 24, verse 12 to 13. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Verse 24, 13. But he who endures to the end shall be what? Will you be able to endure to the end? Not only to the end of 2017, but to the end of your life. It shall be well with you that day. When the Lord will call you home and will say to you, welcome, good and faithful servant. Enter into the kingdom of your Lord. You have started well. Continue well. End well. But remember, your service must be perfect from a perfect heart, from a glad heart. It must be faithful or truthful, sacrificial, righteous and continuous and contagious too. Let's bow our heads in prayer.